This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. As always, I'm joined by my good friend Charles. Charles, are you there?
I'm right here, Timmy.
And my good friend Brandy. Brandy, are you there?
Hi, Timmy. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, they're at remote locations, probably secret. In some bunker somewhere in Wyoming or someplace like that. So,
well, now you've given away our position. Oh.
Yeah, no, the Bahamas, that's where they're at.
Okay.
I'm in the secret colonel's lair, Timmy, the underground secret lair of the colonel.
What do you do there in that lair? Never mind.
It's where all the weasels are.
Today we're going to talk about the mysterious Bennington Triangle, a little weird little location in Vermont where people seem to disappear. What are your thoughts on that, Brandy?
It's thinning the herd, Timmy.
See, I thought when I read this, the introduction and the Bennington Triangle, I thought it was a ladies' private grooming style, Timmy. I thought it was a new thing that came out. I'm gonna go to the thing and get a wax and get the Bennington Triangle.
Well, you're
a jackass.
Probably asked them about that.
You could ask them, but they're not going to know what you're talking about.
Well, and it made me think, you know what's rapidly disappearing? If not really extinct, Timmy. It's
common sense.
Maybe because of global warming, I don't know, but is the 70s porn bush, Timmy?
Yeah, you don't see it anymore unless you're with a lady who came of age in the 1970s, which, you know.
Yeah, and by then they're losing hair on that thing. The penis has already pushed it out, and it's all gray wiry. There's nothing wrong with getting a little smoky down there, you know. But
you know what? I would challenge either one of you to go get a waxing done in that particular quadrant. I would challenge you to do that.
Well, I don't even know where.
And then let's talk.
I'm
about
a Rastafarian.
Where they would stop with me.
I'm a Rastafarian, and that's against my religion.
We're Rastafari. Okay.
They basically have to go all the way up to my stomach, my chest, my shoulders, all the way down my back.
Your ears.
It would just never end. Yeah, my ears.
Here's the thing. I can arrange all that for you.
The only thing they wouldn't have to do is remove hair on your head, Charles.
His head.
On my head.
God did that.
It'd just be easier to set me on fire.
God did that. How come is it as you get older, you get hair everywhere except on your head, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, it's called evolution, Timmy. The hairier the ear, the more evolved the person is, Timmy.
I think we're devolving. Check.
If you get that done, I will even pay for it. I will pay for you.
I am not going to have people yank my pubes out one by one, devil.
Well, they don't. It's not one by one. They put hot wax on it first.
Yeah, but
and then pull them out all at once.
See,
all the way around.
That's the same thing as being a gynecologist. I just wouldn't want to do that unless you could choose your patience. I mean,
yeah.
Because you know.
And I hope, I hope for some of them you can use scented wax. Because you get people in there and it's like, oh, no. We're going to have to use
scented wipes.
Scented wax, devil. Scented wax.
Oh, scented wax.
Yeah,
oh.
Because you get, you know, we've talked about this on other shows, Timmy, but you get a woman in there with a bad case of the vaginal decay.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it just, you have to close up shop for 2-3 days after that, Timmy.
Well, you're liable to get bit.
Yeah, with the vagina with the teeth.
I had a friend who...
Lose a finger.
I had a friend that went, used to go, and she had been a while since she had been there, and she went, it was like, you know, because there, a lot of the people who do this are like Korean or whatever, and she went to have a Brazilian wax and took off her clothes, and the little Korean woman was saying, oh, very hairy, very hairy.
Big hairy.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, yeah. I've heard that one before, Timmy. Big hairy, big hairy.
No, you've never heard that. You've never ever heard that.
Let me introduce my panel. I have brought into this podcast two of the greatest minds in podcasting. Unfortunately, they left, and I'm left with these two. Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Timmy, I'm still sick.
How can you be sick?
I don't know.
It's been like 6 months.
I know. If I have the corona sinus virus, and it's crippling me, Timmy.
Let me tell you, Brandy, and you might not know this. I know the Colonel knows this, but... There's things now called antibiotics. If you take them,
yeah, I've taken all of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't work.
Well,
when the guy sticks the thing in your sinuses and then he goes, oh, that's gross. I feel like, you know, we're a little beyond antibiotics. I don't know what's happening. I gotta do a neti pot and the whole bit. It's very stressful.
Well,
I just go down to the gas station to the air pump, devil. Just shoot.
I'm thinking about
you
it.
You get 38 pounds per square.
Hose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something. I can't. This is ridiculous.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's good. It's good times.
How's
well,
your
I
broken,
hope you get better.
And
but
of course.
How's what? Your broken foot?
I hope you get better.
Well, thank you, Chuck. My broken foot is better.
You're still wearing a boot.
My toe. Yeah. Yeah. I got another week or so in the boot, but. I'm trying to transition back into my tennis shoes or something because the boot is exhausting.
And as I said, Timmy, I do hope you get better, devil. But do we have a backup plan, Timmy, in case she does not?
Well, you know, we've had some great guest hosts on the show before. We've had Nina, of course. We have had
Nina.
We've had Shelley.
We've had Erica Kinney. So maybe we could do a rotation. Because, you know, once the women get comfortable in here, Timmy, they start to get a little bossy.
Yeah.
So you know, if each woman we brought in felt like they was on probation,
mm-hmm.
maybe they'd act, you know, they comport themselves properly.
Unfortunately for the two of you, I'm going to be around quite a while.
Hmm.
Well, so. Yeah, unless somebody drives a stake through your heart, I suppose you will be.
Exactly. So there you go.
Well, thank you. That was a lot of brandy time, Colonel.
That was a lot of brandy time, Timmy.
Let me introduce a man, Brandy, who needs no introduction. He's a man who is considered the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
By
he
no one.
Has, he's a man we turn to, Brandy, in these troubled times.
We do not.
He's been called an oasis. In the desert of despair. He is a best-selling
ever.
Author.
No.
He won the Iowa caucuses.
I wish.
The very honorable, the Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy. I'm not good.
Oh, there we go.
What's wrong? Now, see, she goes on and on and on about her sinus infection. Something
I know.
Something is as common as the common cold, and she doesn't realize real pain, Colonel. So
she doesn't.
Yes, I do. I'm on this podcast. I absolutely do,
Colonel. What's wrong?
Well, Timmy, it was cute when we got this second dog in here.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing's crazy.
You're talking about Bo.
Bo, and he keeps eating my headphones, which at some point you have to take some responsibility for. Like, he's like a little child, you know. If you leave him within his reach, you know, it's your own fault. But I've always been pretty safe because Bo cannot really traverse the steps that, you know, I go to take naps and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But he's learned how to do that now, Timmy. And then he's learned how to get himself onto the bed that I try to relax on. And he will take the ear pods right out of my ear and eat them, Timmy, while I'm sleeping.
Have you thought about, you know, closing your door?
Well, I think that's what I'm going to have to do. But I used to, you know, it's like living, when you live free, Timmy, when you don't have to worry about shutting your door, you don't have to close yourself off.
That's your sanctuary, Colonel.
It is.
And, wait a minute, and it really never occurred to you to just close the door?
Well, I never really knew he could get up there and get on the bed and him right out of my ear.
How many pairs of earbuds has he eaten?
Four.
Okay. So,
but those are all ones times. I've left laying around that he's got a hold of.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
He's gotten so goddamn bold, he just comes up and takes them out of my ear.
Maybe he thinks he's saving you.
Well, Colonel, he needs attention. And he knows that you're on, you know, you're listening to music, or you're on the phone, and you're not paying attention to him. Perhaps he just needs a little bit more attention, Colonel. He needs a little bit more kernel time.
And that's probably it, because let me tell you something. I was showing him something at work the other day. First of all, my back is tired because I have been carrying him. But I'm showing him something at work, and he's like one of my kids. I have to tell him three times, put your phone down and look at this. Put the phone, stop texting. Look at this.
Well, no, I got
the phone down.
I got a new golf game on here, Timmy.
Oh, wow. That
and on my thing. And, Timmy, you know, I had the another problem that I have, and you know my problems are numerous. It's you know, I'm much like Jay-Z, Timmy.
I find it interesting that you play golf on your phone, but you don't play golf in real life.
No, that takes too much. The people that play golf, and I don't mean to disparage any listeners, but...
But you're going to.
But if you play golf... Here's what's happened to you, Timmy. Now, you know, we played baseball when we was younger, right?
Right.
You stop playing golf when you really can't play basketball or baseball anymore.
Mm-hmm. So you're too athletic for golf is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. My book is going into paperback, Timmy.
Oh, it is.
And it is, and I've... But because it's going to a much larger audience.
And this is How to Make Love to a Woman.
How to Make Love to a Woman, Timmy.
So you may be sitting next to someone on a plane that's reading your paperback.
Right. And they want me to re-edit and take out some of the names for penises, Timmy. And I've been working on this all weekend.
Okay.
At least you've been working on something, Tim, because you and I have been at work.
So you're saying you're changing the name, you're trying to come up with different names for penises that may be more appropriate than you're probably saying cock or something like that.
Well, I mean, like Prince Everhard of the Netherlands. You know,
oh, for God's sake.
I mean, I thought that was a good one. You know, I thought that was...
What's that again, Colonel?
Prince Everhard of the Netherlands.
Well,
you know, it's a royal penis, Timmy.
I see. Well, that's a good one, Colonel.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just had some, like, just in Beaver. I thought that was a good one, right?
It's catchy. It's catchy.
Yeah. The clam hammer.
What?
Apparently, the clam hammer, Timmy, they did not like that one at all. Made me take that one out. The cave hunter. Cave hunter, I was not allowed to use that one. Now I've got to go back and try to make this book more colorful by taking out all my colorful language.
I see, Colonel. Well,
did you? No, wait a minute. Clearly, Chuck did not see this at work because he doesn't read his emails. But Timmy saw it. Lady at work, we had a light that was leaking in the lobby, and we called in maintenance, and maintenance came in, and so lady at work sends out an email that was just poorly worded. She said that the maintenance had put a bucket. A bucket under the drip until it peters out.
Until it peters out, yeah.
Until it peters out. Now, I responded, that's what she said.
And that's very good.
It's inappropriate.
And Timmy decided that he was going to, you know, call me out about being, I don't know, immature.
Well, you could be a little more professional.
I said that that's something that, you know, that most mature adults would not do in business correspondence.
Right.
Exactly. But then there's the three of us and our boss.
I mean, there's something that Adam Sandler might say.
It's something that you would say. You just hadn't read it yet.
Well,
why would she use the phrase in any sort of correspondence?
Peter's out.
Peter out.
We have a listener who posted this, you know, I don't know, like a year ago on our Facebook group. Because, you know, on our Facebook group, people kind of, they tell you a very intimate details. I won't say her name, but it was so funny. She said the first guy she was with called his penis the Alabama Hammer. And she said, I don't even think he's been out to Alabama.
Well, we all have names for our penises, Tim. You have to name him because they're really separate entities than
they
us.
Really are.
They take up all the blood flow.
They do take up all the blood flow. And
portion of your budget, too, I might add.
A great portion of your budget, your time, your energy. And, you know, the only thing about them is if it weren't for your penis, all you do is sit around and eat all the time, Timmy.
That's true.
Okay. And, can we talk about the Bennington Triangle just for fun?
And if any listeners are interested, the Colonel.
They're not.
The Colonel calls his Excalibur.
Jesus.
We get a lot of mail, and that's a lot. That's one of the questions that comes up a lot.
It's a question people ask a lot of times. What does the Colonel refer to as his penis? It's
nobody
Excalibur.
Asked that.
I did nobody not name that. It. I was born with it. It's something that was thrust upon me.
Yeah, gross. Some achieve.
You should go see your priest about that.
Some achieve greatness, Colonel, but some have it thrust upon us.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yes, that's what
is.
She said.
All right.
I try not to
trust
it.
Let's talk.
Please. I want to learn more about the Bennington Triangle. Yeah.
Glastonbury, Vermont brandy. And its neighboring township, Somerset, initially strived as a logging and industrial.
Well, they thrived.
Yeah, thrived.
They thrived. I mean, they had strived for it, and they reached
as
it.
As a logging and industrial towns in the 1800s. Before they gradually declined during the late 19th century, becoming essentially ghost towns by 1937. At one point in the 1920s, Glastonbury had a total population of 3 people.
It's a bustling metropolis.
That's a menage a trois, Brandy. That's French. That's French.
You ain't going to cut down too many goddamn trees with just 3 people now.
Well, and you know what? I bet their proms sucked.
Yeah.
The area.
Yeah, because they're.
Well, the area around Glastonbury became famous in the late 1940s when 5 people mysteriously disappeared over a 5-year period. The area became known as the Bennington Triangle. You know, much like, you know, the Bermuda Triangle. For those who are too poor to travel to Bermuda, they get lost in the Bennington Triangle in Vermont. And what happened?
At least in Bermuda, you got nice weather. Up here, you're freezing.
Exactly.
Your ass off.
Vermont's freezing.
Vermont's beautiful. A lot of trees.
But you can get syrup.
Yeah.
You could eat syrup.
You can.
There you go.
And
maybe they was just trying to get away from Bernie Sanders, Timmy.
Maybe so.
Maybe they was knocking on the door. You know, maybe, I wonder if these people could have been like, you know, those people to proselytize and come around your house and knock on your door and they happened to hit the wrong Vermonter. Because those people up in New England, Timmy, are just crazy.
Well,
they're crazy people.
Well, in the 1940s, Bernie would have been, what, 70 years old?
74 years old, yeah.
So they're already walking around with his robe open.
Yeah, they probably hit his house and just they just ran into the woods and never be seen again to me.
God love him.
So the area became known as Bennington Triangle. And what happened to those five people who disappeared remains a mystery to this day, Brandy. That's why we are having this podcast, actually, because we're talking.
Perfect.
Bennington Triangle is a loosely defined area. That's what he said.
Yeah.
That was a good one, too.
Thank you, Kermit. That encompasses the ghost town of Glastonbury.
It does what? What are you doing? What are you on?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
It was...
encompasses.
Oh, my God.
It encompasses. Now, see, that's a colloquialism. Now,
no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It depends really on your front.
It's an alliteration.
Now, I would say encompasses, but Timmy is an educated man. He is using the European version of the word.
He's not. Good Lord.
Anyway, this tent.
So,
go
it
ahead.
Was abandoned.
Go ahead,
it
Gomer.
It was abandoned in the 19th century after the logging boom died down. Colonel, you remember the logging boom.
I do remember the logging boom. And forgive me if I'm a little distracted. I'm editing this, too, so I'll try to focus on both.
So you're editing as you go along, Colonel. That's pretty amazing that you edit the podcast as we're doing it.
No, I'm editing the book
that
I got to send. Today I got to send them. I got to send it back to him. And does Woody Woompecker seem tasteless to you, Devil?
Woody Woompecker.
Yeah.
Woody Woompecker.
That's tasteless. That's bad.
What about the Bone Ranger?
I like the Bone Ranger. Brandy, do you have a special little nickname for Dave's penis?
No.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Well, if I did, I wouldn't tell you sons of bitches, would I? No. Hmm. No.
Seems spiteful to me.
You are spiteful. Well, you know,
I've shared things over the years, and it never works out for me, so no. Hmm. No.
Abandoned at the end of the 19th century after the logging boom died down, the greater Glastonbury area is mostly untouched, pristine wilderness, and is considered remote even by Vermont standards. Starting with a string of missing persons some 70 years ago, the now abandoned town has long been the eerie setting of numerous unexplained disappearances, unsolved murders, and a bizarre sightings that continue, Brandy, to this day. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I will not ever know any. I'm never going to go there because I don't go to New England.
Colonel, of course, you've been in the Bennington Triangle, haven't you, Colonel?
I have been in. I've been there, Timmy. I've been there. Yeah, I found my way out.
He is a well-traveled man, Brandy.
Yeah, he's Rand McNally. Keep going.
Russell the One-Eyed Muscle, Devil. What do you think about that one?
Russell the One-Eyed Muscle.
Yeah.
That's a catchy turn of phrase there for a penis.
Yeah, they won't let me use that one. Vlad the Impaler, they took that one out, too.
The Impaler. In 1945, during a five-year span of disappearances began in the Bennington Triangle with the vanishing of one Mitty Rivers. What do you think about that name, Brandy? Mitty Rivers.
You know, in 1945, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Now,
it sounds like a name from 1945. You don't run into a lot of middies this time. Tell me now.
If you remember this one. I mean, I'm taking it. Well, Devil, this is back when you was probably in your high school prom sometime in the early 70s. There was a song that was very popular. Loving you is easy because you're beautiful.
Why is this happening?
That was quite the hit.
That's Many Rivers, Timmy. Many Rivers.
Many Rivers. Okay. Well,
not Mitty.
Almost
Mitty,
the same.
Who went on to birth Maya Rudolph, Timmy.
From Saturday Night Live.
And then developed breast cancer and died very quickly after, which is a terrible shame. She died very young. She's a beautiful woman. Had a beautiful, beautiful voice. She only had the one hit because, you know, she died so young.
And what was that hit again, Colonel?
Did you get a tattoo for her?
I do have a tattoo on my heel for love.
Of course you do.
You. And please at the end
stop.
Of it, she does this.
What? You sound like a cat that's been hit with a lawnmower. Please stop.
The colors that you bring. Stay with me till we grow old and we will live each day in the sunshine.
There are dogs gathering outside on my patio. Can you stop?
Don't be a hater, Devil. Don't be a hater.
Okay, so this Mitty Rivers was a 74-year-old local hunting guide. He led a party of four hunters around the area of an area called Hell Hollow.
I thought you said Hell Holler, which was going to be so much better for me, but go ahead.
It's in the southwest woods of Glastonbury before he suddenly disappeared. It's like he disappeared in thin air. When last seen, Mitty Rivers was wearing a bright red hunting jacket. Now, that's important, Brandy, because all these victims... are these people disappeared were wearing red when they disappeared?
Well, then, you know, people should learn to walk in there not wearing red.
See, then
they're safe.
I have a theory about this, Timmy.
Okay.
Of course you do.
Now, you remember during World War II on those islands where you had some of the Japanese holdouts, and in 1985 they were still fighting World War II?
Yep.
Well, I think probably up in Vermont and in that area, there was probably a Revolutionary War Patriot holdout still hanging out in the woods. And these people would come wandering by with their red jackets, and he'd take them down with his musket.
So a 200-year-old American Revolutionary soldier, you're thinking it did this?
It could.
Makes sense.
It could happen.
Yeah, makes sense.
Now,
sure.
Here's one I did not think was all that. Manaconda, Devil. What do you think about that? Manaconda.
You ever call Dave's penis Manaconda, Brandy?
First of all, it's Manaconda. I don't know where you're getting the D in there. What is wrong with you today? Are you on? You're still zapped out by the Xanax, aren't you?
Soon. Where was I at? You disrupted me, Brandy.
I don't know where you
after
are.
After a unsuccessful initial search for Mitty, many believed that his this knowledgeable woodsman would be able to survive and soon surface in town. However, that was not the case, Brandy.
When he didn't show up at the
bar. He was never seen again. Soon, more than 300 concerned locals and the U.S. Army and U.S. Army soldiers dispatched from the Massachusetts Fort Devens
combed the
vast wilderness for 8 days, turning up not a single shred of evidence of the whereabouts of Mitty Rivers. Now, in the following year, saw arguably the most infamous missing persons case in the history of Vermont. So if you would go up to Vermont, Brandy, and ask and just poll people and say, what's the most infamous missing person case? Most of them will tell you that it was the disappearance of Paula Weldon, Paula Weldon was an 18-year-old college student at Bennington College who decided to take a hike on the leg of the long trail. Oh, it's a trail up there. Thanksgiving break.
They were very creative with those names.
When
the long trail.
When most of her peers had returned home for the holidays. Now, she was having some problems with her father. Her father did not approve of a boyfriend that she was dating. And Mitty did not go home on Thanksgiving break. She decided to stay at school.
Not Mitty. You're talking about Paula now, right?
Paula, you're right.
Uh-huh.
Paula Weldon. She decided not to go home to see her father. Instead, she was going to spend the weekend hiking. And she was last seen on December the 1st, 1946, wearing an easy-to-spot red coat and entering the long trail near Glastonbury Mountain. When Paula Weldon never showed up for her classes on Monday after the break, it spurred a massive search party of more than 1,000 people, and they offered an award of $5,000. That was from her father. Her father offered the very generous award of $5,000. So this was a year after the disappearance of Mitty Rivers, right? So now we got Mitty Rivers disappearing. We've got Paula Weldon disappearing. And despite a large turnout, numerous aircraft were utilized, and it's the first time actually they used a helicopter, I think, in searching, and a variety of assisting law enforcement departments, but no clues of her fate were ever discovered.
God damn it. God damn it, Timmy.
What's wrong, Colonel?
I'm looking at they got a red line through meat Twinkie, Timmy.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe they would reject that.
Yeah.
Colonel.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go on with the story. I got deadlines to meet. I'm a busy man. Yeah. I'm trying to do three things at once here. But meat Twinkie is a perfectly acceptable nomenclature for a penis.
You're not a great multitasker. You should probably not do that.
Well,
you struggle. All right.
Hang on to your headphones, Colonel.
Yeah.
Right. Many, including Paula Weldon's father, criticized the authorities' lack of sophisticated methods in handling the case, which actually served as the catalyst for the founding of the Vermont State Police 7 months later. The case remains open to this day.
All right, well, that's good. Something good came out of it.
They were right on that one.
Established the Vermont State Police.
They established the state police just to solve this case, and they couldn't do it. They should have broke them up.
Yeah.
I'd have said, you failed. Go home.
Exactly 3 years to the day after the vanishing of Paula Weldon, on December 1st, 1949, the Bennington Triangle saw one of its more supernatural disappearances.
Let me add, Brandy, before... All these disappearances occurred in the afternoon around 3 to 4:30. Hmm. So they are all around the same time as well.
So that day, a 68-year-old man, a World War I veteran named James E. Tedford, seemingly disappeared into thin air. Tedford boarded a bus to Bennington after visiting relatives in St. Albans, Vermont. Numerous eyewitnesses, including the bus driver, later confirmed that Tedford had been in his seat as late as the last stop before Bennington. Yet, when the bus finally pulled into Bennington, Tedford was nowhere to be found. After he implausibly vanished into thin air while inside a moving vehicle, baffled passengers noted that Tedford's luggage and an open bus timetable remained on his seat.
Brandy, have you ever disappeared in thin air?
I don't disappear into thin anything.
It happened to me once at Kohl's, to me.
Of course it did.
I was a cold.
No, you spontaneously combusted.
Yeah, I did.
There's a difference. If the witness accounts are correct, James Tedford would have disappeared from his seat as the bus was traveling down Route 7 through the Bennington Triangle. When we last saw James Tedford, he'd been wearing a heavy red flannel shirt or jacket.
Mm-hmm. So this guy is on the bus, and he disappears.
Yeah. He's not even hiking. Despite numerous eyewitness reports, including that of the bus driver, police were skeptical, mainly due to the fact that the soldier's home where Tedford lived didn't report him missing for a week after he disappeared. It took another few days before the investigation was up and running.
Maybe he was just quiet. Maybe he was just a quiet guy.
It was almost 2 weeks before the bus driver and other eyewitnesses gave police their testimony. Investigators believe that the witness memories may have been faulty by that point.
You would remember the guy
disappearing off the bus. Yeah.
If you're sitting there talking to somebody and then all of a sudden they're gone. It ain't like a train where you can get on the next car and you think, oh, maybe he went to the dining car. This motherfucker just ain't on the bus no more.
Well, you know, you can go to the... They do. You know, some of those buses have a toilet in the back. Oh, man, you talk about gross. A toilet on a Greyhound bus. Yeah.
Now you just hold it or pee into a Mountain Dew bottle.
It's not as bad as being behind the Greyhound bus when somebody drops the steamer on you there.
So you're saying it's like the airplane. It just, you know, it just
dumps stuff.
It's a road at 80 miles an hour, and depending on how much fiber you had, it's going to bounce or it's going to splat. You don't really know.
Oh my God!
Well, hey, Brandy, what's your thoughts on stool softeners? Are you pro stool softener?
Oh, I'm pro. Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely. Yeah, I'm pro.
Now this was perfect, and I don't. Coctopus, Timmy.
What is it?
Coctopus.
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 You're an idiot.
That shouldn't be. They shouldn't edit that out. I did not think so.
But they even, you know, they scratched out Lap Rocket, Timmy.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
What's wrong with
those people?
Hey, bring it back.
All right.
At the time of his visit to St. Albans, Tedford seemed depressed and told family members that he didn't want to return to his home. He claimed he was very
unhappy.
Who
does, really? Who does?
he claimed he was very unhappy there and regretted he could not afford to live somewhere else. James Tedford had served honorably in World War I, but was injured late in the war with mustard gas. In addition, he was discharged after being diagnosed as shell-shocked, or what we would describe today as PTSD.
Colonel, you ever experienced mustard gas?
You know, Timmy, I've every once in a while...
Did you put that on a sandwich once?
Every once in a while, Rudy will get a hold of, like, a raccoon or something and eat it. Just kill it and eat it. You know, because Rudy's not like that kind of dog. If Rudy's going to kill something, he eats it. You know, he doesn't just kill for the fun of it. But, man, when he comes back in after eating a rabbit or something, he does not digest that well.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And I'm pretty sure that if the Allies had Rudy during World War One, they could have moved more than, you know, a quarter mile every 3 weeks.
So he would have been a weapon for the Allies.
He would have been. Well, and they took this one out too, to me, which leaves me. Rudy would have been a weapon of mass destruction for the Allies. But apparently you can't call penis a weapon of ass destruction, Timmy.
A weapon of ass destruction, Brandon.
Yeah.
Okay, she has to pee, Colonel. So what other words did they just...
Well, and I mean, the commonly known one, trouser snake, they didn't even like that.
Well, that's in the American lexicon. I don't know why
it
they
is.
Would. What
yeah.
else you got, Colonel?
And for the older people, you know, Uncle Remus. you know, the
Uncle Remus.
They struck that one out. The one-eyed trouser trout. Now, Timmy, now that's just there's nothing wrong with that.
They're going overboard with that. We're cutting that out.
Right, the helmeted warrior of love, Timmy.
The helmet warrior of love.
The helmeted warrior of love.
Your thoughts on that, Brandon?
Okay. No, I'm... Stop. Stop. Just stop.
Okay.
What do you call Dave's penis, Brandon? You can share it with us. No one else.
No, I cannot.
The spam...
So...
Spam javelin? Let me guess. Spam javelin.
Oh, gross.
Gross. Vagina minor.
Listen, this poor guy has PTSD and fucked up with mustard gas.
That was a fucked up word when you think about it. I mean, these guys, you know, you got artillery.
Well, first of all,
you got
let's
gas
thank him for
coming
his
at you. You're sitting in these pits that are wet and damp and dank all the time. It just, I would give it a bad review on Yelp if I had to be in that war.
About the war, yeah, they got the trench foot, or their feet would rot off.
Well, and then they're dying from the flu. Most of them died from the flu, Timmy.
Yeah, the guys couldn't get a break.
No.
Well, and we thank him for his service.
Yes. And wonder what he called his penis, Colonel.
I don't know. This war was not like the Falcons, Timmy. You know, if they ever send me to war, I want to go down into the Falklands or Grenada, Timmy. I want to be storming the beaches of Grenada.
Oh my God! All right,
he probably called his a meat scepter, Timmy.
Meat
scepter. Yeah.
Okay, so listen. So old boy left the army in 1919, but he suffered terribly from anxiety and depression. Timmy, were you in World War One?
No, I had a deferment.
You did what? Oh, yeah.
Bone spurs, Timmy?
Well, it wasn't bone spurs, but I... Anxiety and depression. It's embarrassing, but apparently if you have a large... I don't know what you would call...
They didn't have time to make custom uniforms, did they, Timmy?
Exactly. And if you had a large... How would you describe it, Colonel?
You've seen it? The Colonel's seen it? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm saying he has words.
Well,
to
I mean,
it.
You're asking him to describe it. I would assume that he's seen it.
No, you don't have to see it to know that, you know, when sometimes the Army examined you and they told Timmy, you know, they might have said something like, you know, did you have a twin brother? Because it looks like you absorbed his one of his baby legs. It's
like,
you know,
it's like a parasitic tumor.
Yeah,
or something.
Looks like a baby's arm holding an apple is what it's like down there.
I'm betting that your mother's gonna love this part of the podcast.
But anyway, Brandy, I got a deferment for having a too large of a penis. It's embarrassing.
Okay,
it's embarrassing. Right.
You don't like to talk about it.
Wait. I don't like to talk about it. Well, they were afraid if I was out and I was on the battlefield and I had to run that I might trip on it. Randy. So,
well, who can? I mean, it's
perfect.
Yeah. But you know what, Timmy? Thank you for your service.
Well, you're welcome. Argued, of course, that I could catapult over the trenches, but apparently they didn't go for that. Unfortunately.
All right. So poor Mr. Tedford, he had been institutionalized in Burlington, Vermont, off and on over the course of nearly 30 years. When he wasn't institutionalized, Tedford worked as a handyman in the Bennington area. He was unable to afford even a sleeping room in 1945, and he moved into the soldier's home where he stayed for 4 years preceding his death, which I assume the soldier's home was like an orphanage for soldiers.
Yeah, it's like a place where soldiers can live if they don't have money, and
it would be kind of like the VA-ish.
Yeah,
yeah. I think they're still around. I think they still have.
Yeah,
they do.
Tedford had participated in the search for Mittie Rivers and Paula Weldon when they had disappeared a few years before his own disappearance.
But he disappeared on a fucking bus. That
yes, he did. And his body was never found, and the case of his disappearance remains unsolved.
You don't know. That bus might have backfired. He might have just jumped out the goddamn window.
That's true.
He's like, ah!
All right. Nearly a year later, on October 12th, 1950, 8-year-old Paul Jepson went missing.
Was he a victim?
He was last seen. He was not. He was 8. He was last seen. Well, yeah. He was last seen happily playing in the family pickup truck by his mother. That sounds dangerous.
Well, this was back in the day when you could have fun, when you didn't have to wear a helmet for everything.
I don't think it was moving, Brandy.
Well, still.
It was parked.
Paul's mother left him momentarily to tend to pigs at the dump.
Oh, I don't even have to tell you where this one went.
Where
you don't send an 8-year-old boy into the pigs. The pigs will eat you bones and all. There ain't nothing left.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to speak slowly. Paul's mother left him momentarily to tend to the pigs at the dump where she and her husband were caretakers.
Right.
While she was gone, he vanished without a trace.
No, she threw him into the pig pit. God damn it. Don't take the Virginia State Police to figure that one out.
That was a rumor, actually, it was.
Probably. According to his mother, the little boy was wearing a bright red jacket when he disappeared. In addition to the hundreds assembled for a search party, a New Hampshire sheriff brought a bloodhound to sniff out the missing boy. The dog was able to pick up his scent, but abruptly lost the trail at a nearby crossroads, suggesting a possible abduction by a motorist. As the case dragged on without resolution, some suggested that Jepson met an early demise at the hands of his parents and was dinner for the pigs.
Yes.
Mm. Huh.
But in keeping with the eerie feeling of the Bennington Triangle, the boy's father told the Albany Times Union, that it was perhaps the lure of the mountains that pulled in his missing son, as the boy had talked of nothing else for days prior to the disappearance.
Well, see, the problem with that pig theory is if they ate the little boy and then the family fed him on top of that, they were getting fed twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were pigs.
Well, they're pigs, well, yeah.
They could get indigestion, is all I'm saying.
Right. Well, I'm sure they gave him Tums. After the speculation in the media of the parents' involvement in Jepson's the parents' involvement, the Jepsons stopped granting interviews and cooperating with police. Only 16 days later, 53-year-old Frieda Langer, an experienced hiker and survivalist familiar with the area, went missing on the Somerset area of the Long Trail bordering East Glastonbury. After hiking a brief half mile with her cousin, Herbert Eisner, Langer fell into a stream and set back to their camp to change her clothes, where her husband was resting with a hurt knee. But neither her nor her husband nor her cousin... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me start again. But neither her husband nor her cousin ever saw her again. Helicopters from the Connecticut Coast Guard... What the fuck? Why is the Coast Guard there? And the U.S. Army in Massachusetts, as well as local aircraft from citizens, and the Vermont Aeronautics Commission helped search for Langer. It would be the first time helicopters were used in a missing persons case, except for they were used back up here with...
No, I was mistaken. This was the first time they used helicopters.
Okay, so you screwed that up. Okay.
But it was in these disappearances was the first time they've used helicopters.
Yeah, you can't make up. That's just bad fact-finding. Mm-hmm. As many as 400 people, including the Massachusetts National Guard, meticulously searched the surrounding areas, yet found nothing.
Nothing.
Volunteers.
Zip nada.
Well, here's what I love. Volunteers were paid $4 a day to search for Langer. Well, then they're not volunteers. They're employees.
Well, that's big money back then.
Yeah,
well, I know, but stipend. Then they're not volunteers. They're employees.
They should not. You know, this is something just for our listeners. Never go into the woods without your sex pistol, Timmy.
Sex pistol.
They scratched that one, too, the sex pistol.
I can't believe that they're being so picky with the words that you're using.
It's like I'm writing this book for Puritans.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But soon... They did find something, and this became the only known disappearance in the Bennington Triangle where a body had turned up. 6 months after she went missing, Langer's corpse was found near the Somerset Reservoir. Curiously, an open area that had been searched extensively numerous times in the previous months. Yet, even with a body, the case saw little resolution.
The
body had decayed...
I'm wondering if one of those volunteers who were getting paid $4 a day found her and then kill her. Maybe one of the volunteers was a serial killer, Brandy.
Right.
Maybe. Yet, even with the body, the case saw little resolution. The body had decayed so badly that no cause of death could be determined, only fueling further speculation about what kind of disturbing end she might have met. The intriguing mysteries and unexplained events associated with the Bennington Triangle have caused many to speculate wildly about the possibility of nefarious and perhaps paranormal forces at work. A notion bolstered by alleged UFO and Bigfoot sightings in the region.
Bigfoot.
Yes.
Bigfoot has a big penis, Brandy.
He does. Okay. Oh, you know, perfect. Bigfoot got the beaver basher, Timmy.
Beaver bounce.
They took that one out.
Jesus Christ. So there are theories about the Bennington Triangle. Chuck, do you want to tell us about those?
I will. I'm just fixing out this last little thing. Deep V Diver. Now, what is wrong with that, Timmy?
God. That's Colonel, they obviously don't know literature if it hit them in the face.
They don't.
That's why nobody likes you.
First Amendment bullshit. No, they don't believe in that. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story here. I'm going to be Paul Harvey, and I'm going to tell you the rest of the story.
Thank you, Colonel.
That'd be great.
Others believe that the burst of missing persons between 1945 and 1950 may have been the work of a serial killer. But the sheer lack of evidence to back up this, as well as a variety in the victims' ages... and genders, which defies the usual patterns of serial killers, except for the red jacket. Maybe he was the red jacket killer, but it likely rules this theory out. Now, others contend that the disappeared met their demise at the claws of an indigenous... Okay, and Timmy, that's for our listeners, and really I'm saying this for the devil, but I don't want to offend her. Indigenous means that that's where they... lived. That's where they originate.
Local.
Yeah,
yes.
Local. That's, you know.
You know, and fuck yourself so, means take your meat sword and stick it straight in your ass.
They wouldn't let me go use ahead. Meat sword. Indigenous mountain cats such as a lynx, a bobcat, or a catamount. Now, a catamount is similar to a puma. Devil, puma. Just in case you didn't know.
If I could be an animal, I'd be a puma.
That'd be cool.
You know, like here we got deer crossings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In Colombia, yeah. They have signs for puma crossings.
Holy shit.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That made me drive real fast past it. Now, however, bobcat and lynx are not known to be aggressive to humans. And a catamount has not been directly sighted, credibly sighted, since before 1940. And actually has been declared to be extinct.
So that means they're no longer around.
Yeah, so that basically their theory is it was either a catamount or a T-Rex. Neither of them walked Earth anymore.
Sweet.
Yeah. Now, all in all, when trying to tie the disappearances together in hopes of discovering a solution to the mysteries, there's very little to go on. They needed to call
very
us in
little.
In. They needed to call Scooby in here. They could have figured this one out.
For sure.
The mystery van. The mystery, what was it? The mystery machine.
Machine. The mystery machine.
The only known similarities between the most well-documented cases in the Bennington Triangle are the close proximity of the disappearances, the fact that all these sumbitches were in red, the time of day, which was between 3 and 4 p.m., and the time of year, the final 3 months of the year. Now, despite all of these similarities, perhaps just as interesting are the differences in each case.
It's not.
Three of the victims were male. The other two were female. The youngest, 8 years old. The oldest, Mitty Rivers, loving you, was 73 years old. The youngest female victim was Paula Weldon, 18 years old at the time. And the oldest female victim, Frida Lager, was 53.
I think Frida just wanted to go somewhere and start her life over with a better name.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the World War One guy, he didn't want to go back to the mental institution. He was like, fuck this. I'm free. Came out sucks. He had three pair of fresh underwear. He was on his way. Now, three of the missing, Paula Weldon, James Telford, Paul Jepson, never found, while Frida, her body was found 6 months after she disappeared.
Well, what about Mitty? Where does Mitty fit in there? Mitty wasn't found.
No, Mitty wasn't found.
Now,
so it'd be four.
With little in the way of evidence, paranormal theories concerning these cases have taken hold. For those interested in the paranormal, such theories dovetail with other more recent odd occurrences in the Bennington Triangle area. See, it doesn't end there. Timmy dug deeper. This is what you get when you get Timmy. Timmy doesn't just give you half the stories. He goes the extra mile to get you that information. So, listeners, listen up. This is important. Since the 1950s, there have been UFO sightings in the area. Yeah, the most famous sightings came in 1963... when as many as 32 local residents reported seeing several cigar-shaped lights hovering for more than an hour over the area just before disappearing. The next morning, and you know they wipe your mind clean when they anal probe you, but the next morning the doctor had 14 people show up with bruised and sore rectums, Timmy. Explain Jesus. That to me. Yeah, that wasn't a flesh flute.
Well, it's odd and made up.
That was not a flesh flute doing that to me. That was an alien probe. And why they always got to probe you through your anus? If you're so smart, if these people are so smart and so advanced, why can't they just run a scanner across you? Why they got to shove something up your ass all the time?
For fun.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I am so lost, guys. Yeah. I am so lost.
Right. Yeah. You got any money? You know, the fuckers trying to give you seashells and shit for money. I got these moon rocks.
Wait a minute. Do you guys ever in the parking lot, you get those people that are like, hey, you know, my car's just right over there and I've run out of gas.
Yeah.
Can you give me a dollar or, you know, my baby needs diapers. Can you give me, you know, can you give me a dollar, a quarter, whatever?
Well, just aid, and what, she's liable to dirty herself if I don't get her diapers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't usually fall for that one. And what I don't get is, you know, people will tell you oftentimes, you know, we live in a neighborhood where people do this for a living, is I don't know how much your bus costs, but it's like, oh, I got 45 cents, but I just need $3 more to get on the bus. What the fuck, you going to Columbus, motherfucker? Where are you going? $3. I think they do. I think they run by 7-Eleven, get themselves a burrito, and go back on to wherever. And I think while they're down here, they're just like, you know, hey, check this out. They do the mind blank thing, shove a pole up somebody's ass, and the next morning, people are like, I do not know what happened between 3 and 5 a.m., but I know I cannot have peach pie anymore. It makes my ass hurt really bad. So... But yeah, poor Larry. You know, this reminds me of a story one time, Timmy.
Oh,
me and my friend Tom Lewis. We was tight as thieves, Timmy, and we hung out all the time. And Tom's mom had a friend who had a son named Bobby Hanekamp, who we did not like. And we were spending the night at Tom's house, and the mom...
Hold on. You can't remember to check your email on a computer that's right in front of you, and you're about ready to tell me a story of Bobby Handicap or whatever from 1947, mm-hmm. who, you know, had some kind of slow kid, right?
No. It wasn't a slow kid. The mom made Bobby Handicap spend the night with me and Tom. All right. And we just didn't like him. He was just kind of a douchey kid. We didn't like him. And we played wiffle ball all the time. We was about 13 years old. And
was he the douchey kid or were you two?
Well, I'll tell the story and let you
decide.
It's
a toss up. Go ahead.
So, yeah. You know,
this is the early 50s.
This is back when the cool ghoul used to play his scary movies on Saturday night, you know, and you'd stay up and watch him. But Bobby Handicamp, you know, being the little turd that he was, fell asleep. And me and Tom was all mad that Bobby Handicamp was there. And Tom reached under his bed, and you remember those long yellow wiffle ball bats, Timmy? It was summertime, and Bobby Handicamp, it was dark in the room with just the TV. And Tom said, turn off the TV, lay in bed, act like you're asleep, and we did. And Tom took the yellow wiffle ball bat, stood over Bobby Handicamp, whacked him about four times across the back, and jumped back into bed. And Bobby Handicamp woke up screaming and crying and had welts and everything else on his back. And we acted like we didn't know what happened. And to this day, Bobby Handicamp thinks he had a paranormal experience.
You are the douchebag kids.
Well, no.
You're the asshole.
It's just the funny part is, well, to this day, he thinks that was a paranormal thing. It's like, it really happened, guys. I had welts on my back. And we're like, dude, we was the only people in the room. Nothing happened. But anyway, over the years, Timmy, people have reported hearing screams and other strange sounds.
Oh, my God.
Strange sounds coming from... which... Which is want to happen to me when you're doing anal probes out in the forest. It does. And also, people have reported smelling strange odors, which again, once you expose an anus is out in the wild, you know, so, and numerous people have reported seeing a tall, half man, half bear creature roaming around the area. Yeah.
Isn't that Bigfoot?
I guess that would be.
That would be Bigfoot.
Well, Bigfoot. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. I will accept that.
Well, people are not the only people who have disappeared from this area. Actually,
people are not the only people.
No, the catamult or the catapult or whatever the fuck it is, he disappeared
what?
From the area.
What?
People are not the only creatures, God. I said. Yeah. People are not the only creatures who have disappeared in this area. Throughout the last 80 years, there have been frequent reports of livestock disappearing. And that's probably, yeah, from the half-man, half-bear creature, Timmy. But, right, it would be. Yeah, I don't know if he identifies as Bigfoot. I don't even know if his feet are big. He might have those padded little paws.
Oh, my God.
Now, this and a big penis. Now, see, this includes everything from cows, which Occam's razor is telling me. Oh, I'm sorry I said that. Occam's razor, devil, is a theory that when you're looking for an explanation, the simplest answer is usually the correct answer. And when your cows are disappearing, the simplest answer is, well, alien abductions or cattle rustlers.
That is the simplest answer.
Well, cattle rustlers, yeah. And family, and you're not going to believe this, but family pets have disappeared up there. Yeah, you ever go by? Well, you know, family pets, this is not something that's inherent to Vermont, family pets disappearing. Every goddamn pole in my neighborhood's got a, you know, one at reward, and once the reward gets high enough, I will take the cap back to the people. But it's a little side hustle.
You're
I got
playing the long game.
Yeah, it's a nice little side hustle. You know, you want Fluffy back, $25. Fuck you, Fluffy's worth 50. Once it hits 50, I'll look for it. So anyway, but they've simply disappeared. Now, when farmers tried to track their missing livestock, they often found that the trails just ended, as if the animals just vanished. It's like when Kevin leaves his office.
No shit. No shit.
Now, the animals, but here's the thing.
Chair's still spinning.
The animals which were found were even more disturbing here. Some were found mutilated with their eyes and genitalia gouged out. Ripped right out. A missing cow was found in 1978 that appeared to have been savagely attacked and half eaten, although no tracks were found near the cow. And then in 1980, Timmy, one cow was found hovering in the corner of the barn, all curled up on its, you know, just shaking. And it became cowatonic to me. It was never to move again. Yeah, this is all some shady shit going on up there. I think they need to send us up to explore it out. Check it out, Timmy.
Yeah. You know, I don't really have one. I think they ran away. Or were picked up by aliens.
You're not much of a deep thinker, yes. There, are you, devil?
You know, here's the thing. First of all, you're a puddle, so let's not. You know, you want to say, like, yeah, it's UFOs and it's terrible and all this. But, you know, Occam's razor says that, you know, they could have just run off. They could have, Paula just got done with her shit.
Now, maybe the cows committed suicide, Brandy. You want to give us the national suicide hotline again?
For the cows.
Well, no, I don't think the cow committed suicide. I think it got sick and died and then was eaten by a larger
But had his genitalia ripped out and stuffed in his mouth. That was a rat cow, Timmy. That was a cow that was ratting out the other cows.
Stuffed in his mouth.
It was a cow mob hit.
Mm-hmm. You know what they did?
That may be. Well, I've seen those on the far side.
Or it was a bull, and they ripped out his one-eyed yoga slinger, Timmy.
Wow. One-eyed yoga slinger.
One-eyed yogurt slinger.
Yogurt. Not yoga. Yogurt.
Colonel.
Yogurt? What?
Colonel, what is your...
You said yoga.
Colonel.
Like, you said that out loud. For fuck's sake. What the fuck? I feel like I'm in the fucking Bennington Triangle.
Colonel, what's your theory on the...
Basically, our show's on the Bennington Triangle.
One-eyed yoga slinger.
Where good scripts just disappear.
Where good scripts go to die.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, you know, we always get that review, right? It's like, this show, they got such great topics.
if they would just stay on them.
Learn to read.
If they were just
this. How about that? If they could just learn to read, it'd be perfect.
Colonel, what's your thoughts on the Bennington Triangle?
My thoughts is, and clearly it points to alien abductions, Timmy. When you have a cow and you have cow tracks going out, it just got sucked up in that little alien vortex. There's no real rational other explanation for it.
Well, that seems logical, Brandy.
Sure. Sure. We'll go with it.
Okay.
Maybe they all ran into a yoga slinger.
We would like to wish all of our listeners a lovely, lovely President's Day. And
Valentine's Day.
And Valentine's Day. Well, it's already passed. That was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
It's
and,
a
you know,
late
by,
for
the,
that.
By the time the Colonel edits this, it'll be March. So,
well,
I would like.
Probably.
I would like to say, though, that we have DweebCon coming up in October, the first weekend in October here in Cincinnati, and we would love for you to join us. Isn't that right, Brandy?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it's a wonderful time.
It's a wonderful time. So if you would like more information about that, go to our History Dweebs, the podcast, History Dweebs podcast Facebook group. Join it, and you'll get all the details.
And the great thing about it is you get to meet real live podcasters because Nina comes.
Yes, Nina from Already Gone comes. Last year we had Erica Kelly from Southern Fried True Crime. Yeah. We had Shelley from Spy Stories, so... I hope I'm not leaving anyone out. But anyway, you'll get to meet a lot of podcasters and a lot of our listeners, and it's always a fun time. It's the first weekend in October here in Cincinnati, so make your plans accordingly, Brandy. I know you'll be there.
I'll be there.
You know, Brandy will be there. She'll probably still have her sinus infection.
She probably will.
And her boot.
And her boot on, yeah. She's going to break some. Well. She'll probably have a cast on her hand.
Jesus.
Brandy, I got to ask you something. Are you living in a safe environment at home?
Yeah.
Do you wear the boot when you and Dave are being intimate?
I'm not in a safe environment because I get made fun of constantly because evidently I can't walk or do anything at the same time. So it's not safe. Not safe at all.
Well, I think you're creating your own danger there. And I've said this to you before, and you know, me and Timmy care about you a great deal, Devil, but really you're your own worst enemy. I mean, if you just step back, reassess who you are, reassess your values, basically reassess your whole life, maybe all these bad karmic things wouldn't be happening to you. Have you ever considered that? I'm not saying you deserve it, but God's saying you deserve it.
That's all that matters. Well, but really do you wear your boot when you and Dave are making love?
Do you?
Okay.
Is it hard to keep that boot there for a long time? Is it a heavy boot?
Tell me about our Patreon listeners.
There's a lot of boot porn.
Because we appreciate that.
There's a lot of boot porn out there, Colonel, as you know.
There's a lot of boot porn, especially in...
And yoga slingers.
Yeah.
I can't get past it.
Well.
I just can't get past it.
The yoga slingers? Yeah. Well, you know,
the yoga slingers.
You just go in there and they're on the downward dog, you know, and really the downward dog.
Do you do the reverse cowgirl, Brandy? Is that hard with the boot?
Please.
With the boot.
Tell me about our Patreon supporters that we appreciate.
You walk into a hot yoga class and it's just all of a sudden the albino cave dwellers just like, oh, it's a buffet in here. So,
all right, let's thank all of our wonderful people who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
You know, we forgot to warn people about we use adult language. We do use a lot.
It's a little late.
We use adult language on this show, and adult language.
Huddled up in a corner right now.
If adult language offends
taking a silkwood bath,
you might want to try one of the other great independently produced podcasts out there, like Already Gone.
Which, hold on, Timmy. Yes. Which I am on for 8 seconds.
Oh,
on this
week's
episode.
I'm going to listen to this week's episode because it's on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I listened to it. It's an unbelievable episode, Timmy.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it today. All right, Colonel, why don't you give the shout-outs to all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon.
Let me take a drink of water here to instrument, yeah.
Do you need some lemon juice?
There we go. Louise Siddons, Timmy.
Yes.
Tessie Alicorn Poor, Cape Buyer, Danielle Townsend, Marianne Knight, Adam McWaters, Alan Baker, Elaine Baker. Oh, and you know what, Timmy? I wanna stop this and just say, because we have a dear, dear friend. They got some really bad news this week, Jennifer Riker Smith.
Oh, yes.
They found out her mother has cancer, but they are starting chemotherapy this week. And we are all thinking about Jennifer. And Jennifer posted a picture of her mother, looks just like a beautiful, beautiful woman. So we want Jennifer to know that we are all thinking about her, and she
absolutely
means a lot to us. Alexandra, we have Allie, Alicia Mincy, the Already Gone podcast, Amanda Christine, Amber Scoville, Amber Anderson, Anna Gerline, Andrea Odell, Andrew Frazier, Angela Santos, Angelo Villafane, Anna Garrett. Let's see who we got here, Timmy. Annette Petre, Anon, of course. Becky Trainer, Ben Dobrovich, Brandy McBride, Bridget Bernard, Brittany Martin, Kelly Jones, Christy Lee at the Canadian True Crime Podcast, Timmy.
Another fine podcast.
It is. And another one, Charlie from Crime Lines.
Yes.
Carol Elise.
Oh, Charlie is going to be at DweebCon this year.
Charlie will be that's worth the trip in itself. Mm-hmm. Especially if she brings Laws with her.
Yeah.
Cheryl LeBlanc. Chris Lane. You know, it's funny because Charlie was one of the first people really in the group, you know, when we first started.
Yeah, right.
And she always, you know, Charlie has like 37 children. And I don't know if you happened to see her feed yesterday, but she posted a picture of her daughter, and it's just a beautiful picture, beautiful, beautiful girl. And you just think, wow, how much time has passed, because she was just a little girl when, you know, she started here. So Cheryl LeBlanc, Chris Lane, Christine Hauer, Cindy Clark, and Diane Trowbridge, Timmy. Of course, the Comeback Podcast, Daniel Bissett, Diane Student, Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner, Fiona Crisp, Gina Green, congratulations on your Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Jay Cleveland Payne.
And Chris Smith, he was
a big fan. Jahara, Jamie Dent, Hyro, Jason Dykes, Jeff, and Don Chestnut. Jeff is taking up the mantle, Timmy, and he's running for president this time.
I will vote for him.
I will vote for him because he's promising not to do nothing, Timmy. Jennifer Orcott, Jennifer Svoboda, Jess Watford, and he doesn't have a Twitter account either. Jessica Greeno, Julia Rodriguez, Karen Barnes, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop. How you doing, Kim? Kimberly Smith, lovely young lady here from the west side of Cincinnati. Christine Malachinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Lydia Fisher, Maja, Marsha Boris, Marie, Marquia Smith, Mary Courtney Sheldon, Melissa Montoya, the next Mrs. Colonel, Michelle Johns, another Buckeye right here in Ohio, Paula Kimes, the Pleasing Terrors podcast, the Spy Stories podcast, Timmy, with Karen Michelle, myself.
Yes. Yes, another excellent podcast.
Yes, she got her. Karen went to get her driver's license renewed, Timmy, and I have a picture of it. And one day, it is a picture that you would think, "Oh my God, please don't commit a crime because you don't want that put on the news." She told me how terrible.
Very lovely. I can't imagine she it is looking bad.
No, you got to see it, Timmy. You got to see it to believe it. So anyway, Ruth Whitfield, Sarah Bloom, who we all love, Charlene, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, Stacey Alsop, Stephen Potts with the two beautiful little girls out there, Terry Stratford, The Vanish Podcast, and of course, They Walk Among Us, Tyrone, Todd Long, Tommy Lane, Leanne Flanagan, Timmy, and every time this woman posts a picture, Timmy, I put another clue together, Timmy, because Leanne is, of course, an international woman of mystery.
She just had a birthday yesterday, so happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday, Leanne, but I'm putting the clues together. I'm figuring it out. I got two clues from the yogurt she was eating, Timmy. Tracy Smith, Vive. Rebecca L., Jen Lee, Alan Cox, who's going to be traveling, Whitney James, Rudy, the most dangerous canine in podcasting.
When is Bo going to be a
He's
Patreon
waiting
supporter.
On his card to come in right now, Timmy. Right now he's waiting on that card.
We talk about him a lot.
We do. We do. He gets a lot of free airtime.
He does not contribute a penny yet, Brandy.
He ain't lifted that tiny little paw.
Slacker.
He's got short arms, Timmy. He can't reach his pockets. And, of course, the lady we do this show for every week. And, Dottie, we had a five-head body count in here, so I hope that satisfied you. The lovely Dottie Scott. How's Dottie doing, Timmy?
She is doing better. She was a little sick this week, but she's doing better now. And did you say the lovely Lady Beverly?
Lady Beverly. We did.
Okay, good.
We forgot our royalty, Timmy.
Yes. Well, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweez. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.